for you ever leave this world alive. Well, thank you for the things you did in my life. If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has begun. It is our day 2 and 3 coverage. Listen to that.
Like the whole room got silent all of a sudden.
The perfect way to begin it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast, our daily, semi-daily Dragon Con coverage. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm joined by quite a number of great folks. But first of all, I'm Riley Blanton, host of the Star Wars Report podcast, founder of Star Wars Report. And joining me as always, I feel like I should give you a moment to finish your chocolate. Is Bethany, my dear sister.
Welcome. Probably so.
And so it begins. And also joining me, welcome to Atlanta and Dragon Con, Aaron. How you feeling?
Good. It's a very unique experience, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we're going to talk to you a lot.
You and your Spanish.
Prepare to be interrogated.
Oh, gosh.
But no, it's we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about from yesterday and today. And the gentleman who's been kind enough to invite us to his hotel room, eat his chocolate, and even use his audio equipment, it's Brian from Tashi Station.
Hello, hello.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Hey, glad to be here.
Are you recorded out today between panels, between podcasts?
This is the third time today I've had a recording device on me.
Well, very true, very true. It's only the second time for me. But yeah, thanks for coming on and welcome back. And also joining you off to the side, I'm sure, looking at the hashtag DragonCon Twitter feed as we speak, it's Nancy, also from Tashi Station. How close am I? Hot, cold?
I'm looking at Twitter.
Ah, nice. Okay, so I'm nice. Right there.
Hi.
So this is going to be a loose format, and I'm just going to be asking some questions. We'll start the conversation going. But the first thing I want to just zero in on is you, Aaron. First Dragon Con. We are now end of Saturday. You've made it over the hump. It will finally begin to calm down ever so slightly tomorrow, ever so slightly. But so what's your impression? Are you ever coming back?
I think I will think about coming back. I will say that it's a very different experience than something like Star Wars Celebration or other, like New York Comic Con, other conventions that I go to normally. The main problem I have with it is it just seems very convoluted, I guess you could say. Hard to find where you're going, hard to get to places just because of the crowds and the choke points and stuff through the different hotels. So
How many times have you been across the Sky Bridge from the Marriott to the Peachtree Center in lunch hour, or have you tried to do any of that?
Lost count, but yeah. So that part of it I don't like. I do like the kind of the vibe, though. I like the community vibe and just kind of hanging with the friends, and that seems to be more what I would be interested in doing here as opposed to trying to wait in line for panels and things like that. So,
like when you were walking and different Robins high-fived you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You cosplayed.
The cosplay here is amazing.
No, you did. How was that?
I did cosplay. I don't usually cosplay. And when I do, it's usually like something like Doctor Who.
I don't always cosplay.
It's Doctor Who.
And today was?
Today I cosplayed as Robin.
Like, man, I checked my Twitter feed, and I don't know if you'd mentioned it to me and it passed me, or I just didn't know, but I was very pleased. Oh, there we go. Nancy's already pulled up the picture.
Oh, I didn't even know that picture. I forgot about that picture.
That's awesome, Dragon man.
I thought a black male is born.
Yeah.
Well, you beat me.
It was basically full spandex bodysuit Robin. So
the whole shebang.
Because I heard Dragon Con is a costume place. I heard pretty much everybody, or at least half the people here, are probably in costume. So I was like, might as well try it out, see what it's like. I only had it on for a couple hours, probably.
Well,
but it was fun.
In the hot land of heat, that's about as long as you want any costume on.
True, but that spandex was actually surprisingly breathable.
I love the way you said that. It was comfortable.
The problem is I had nowhere to put my phone. I had nowhere to put my room key. I had nowhere to put my wallet. So it was like...
I was telling you earlier, man purse is the way to go.
Man purse. Robin with a man purse. I don't know. That might send the wrong kind of vibes.
It's called a satchel.
It's a satchel. There you go. You figured this out, Brian. So we've had some really, really amazing experiences, Bethany. Starting yesterday, we went to the BSG panel. And we didn't hit today's, but so say we all. By the way, fun moment. I just want to do some asides, and we'll try to do somewhat chronological order, and then we'll bring you guys in, as we, especially at some of the events we've both been on. But when it comes to the panels, it was BSG our first panel? I'm trying to remember, on Friday. Yeah, it was, because we missed the Spartacus, because we had the press deal where we were trying to get yes. Trying to meet up and get all that taken care of. But the BSG panel, just a very brief moment where Edward James almost got deliciously and horribly uncomfortably political. Like, not just the brief moment where people are like, what is it? No, it's like he went five steps past that to where it was very...
I've seen Eddie almost do that before at panels.
Yeah, no, Ed, and he wasn't... I think the Admiral's at the point in his career to where I don't think he has to give a crap of what people think, so he doesn't really care about... care one way or the other what people think of him. But that
Nancy's
was
kind of just giggling over there in the corner when you said that.
But I like that. In some ways, I can appreciate that it takes a certain amount of... in some ways, I can see where it's not necessarily what folks come to see at the panel, but in other ways, it's... I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's America! For now!
He's probably according done so many of these panels, you know, through the years, that he's, you know, he's got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
He said the same things over and over.
Well, it's like the golden rule. You guys know this as podcasters. I mean, who was it at the Zahn panel? And we've talked about this several points. How many times are idiots like me going to ask Zahn about Mara Jade?
One of these years, I am going to write that frequently asked questions list that I've been threatening to do for ages. Questions to stop asking at that particular
you
panel.
Totally should.
Well, I mean, if you with the syllabus,
what are some of the questions you?
Yeah,
so, Mr. John, what did you think when Mara died?
You could have a handout, and so then before you even go
yes.
into the panel, you get a handout of questions not to ask these particular panelists.
Yes, I originally had three questions. What did you think when Mara died? When is Karen Travis coming back? And when is Battlefront 3 being made? I'm glad we can finally scratch that last one off.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, which, by the way, very excited about Battlefront, the new one. Which, by the way, was probably the one thing... It was the turning point where I finally got a little bit out of my depression of the Clone Wars stopping and 1313 stopping and pretty much everything but Episode 7 stopping. So it was that and the Rebels news are what kind of turned it around for me. But you mentioned it. Intro to the EU panel, guys. How do you feel it went?
I am very pleasantly surprised with how that went. We were opposite Billy D. Williams, so I thought we'd be lucky to get 20 people there. It was almost a full room.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
you guys
by
had
the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, by the end you had at least like three quarters filled, and then folks just constantly streaming in and out, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, I thought it went really well.
I want to take a moment to say this. I was at the intro to the EU panel that they did in 2011, about half that attendance, and I think you guys, between the organization actually having like a direction to go, actually accomplished the goal of not it making it, because as you probably kind of told, it kind of tends to be a you should read this book hour,
yeah.
And you guys kind of kept folks on track, which I like to see.
Well,
that.
The organization really goes to Nancy, who designed a course syllabus of sorts for the panel.
Nancy, you are awesome.
Yes, well done, Nancy.
Yeah, her syllabus was awesome, and then Brian and Nancy both kind of led the panel, which I think panels need that. You know, if you just put a bunch of people up there, but you don't appoint somebody as kind of the moderator, it can be, you know, not quite as organized or entertaining. So I think they did a great job of kind of putting us in the right direction, and we had a number of, you know, people up there that really knew their stuff. So
we got three of them right here in the room, and you guys brought certainly a level of sanity. It's always fun to see the difference of opinions, because I am not an EU fan as much as I am an EU observer, and so when I observe, I do read about one out of every five books that are released, if you want to average it out. So I that's a lot of books. But it doesn't hold a candle to what you guys do, which is just incredible to the level that you guys are into this stuff. But it's cool to see the fan community that surrounds the expanded universe.
And another great thing about this panel, too, was the level of engagement that was brought. I mean, it was it was almost like the whole audience was a part of
I think that was the most
panel.
Pleasant surprise was how much audience engagement we had in that panel.
Yeah. Well, and that's good to see, because that's one thing that's kind of unique to Dragon Con, as you talked about, Aaron, the other day, is that the fact that people don't mind just shouting something from the back, and they do participate.
Yeah, they don't line up in front of a microphone in the middle like they do at most conventions.
And a point there.
I mean, I think there's some of the bigger panels they do that.
Yes, they do.
But in most of the room panels, it's just people just shout out a question or raise their hand.
Sure.
It
They don't put their adorable kid up to the microphone to force Dave Filoni to answer a Clone Wars question. So what happens to Ahsoka? Sorry, kid, it got canceled. You'll never know!
Until Rebels comes.
I'm Dave Filoni. Do you think so? I don't think we're getting anything Ahsoka in Rebels.
What makes you go, you
must articulate, sir.
Articulate that noise.
Hold on. I need to get my laptop. I think I got some rumor blogging I need to do.
I was sitting next to someone yesterday.
Okay, sure.
And this person knows some things.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say, but...
Well, I like that, because... Okay. Yeah. You can tell.
Deliciously
here's
vague.
Just a quick tale that the great Justin Robert Young figured out, and is that you must to figure out if someone's not quite saying what they mean, just draw out a vowel. So I'm not saying that we should see Ahsoka in Rebels. Perhaps we probably shouldn't.
Just remember that Dave Filoni is still. You know, he's doing Rebels.
Yeah, it is. And just from a creative team, I can...
And Ahsoka is like his pet
character. Yes, Dave has always
and I think
loved Ahsoka.
Even if we don't get like a, you know, a long drawn out story as to what happened to her, I think we're going to find out what happened to her. Now, it might not be, you know, a lot of detail, but there will be some closure.
Absolutely. I really hope so, because and don't get me wrong, as spectacular as the ending of season 5 of the Clone Wars was, in my opinion, it was not a resolution to Ahsoka's story. And I think that's just what you're left with. And after I don't know how many episodes, I did
want more.
People were asking about the fate of Ahsoka before the show aired. And that's one thing that I think the greatest question that they could still answer in Rebels or any future opportunity is the fate of that character.
Left the Jedi Order. It would be okay, but the fact that we know that there's this giant Jedi purge that happens, mm-hmm. and Vader happens to be the guy that did the purge, and he is her master, there's way too much going on there for them not to let us know a little bit more. So
yeah,
they can't just say, oh, she walked away from the Jedi Order, and that's the end of her story.
Well,
we need to know more than that.
We do need to know more, and speaking of things we need to know more about... Star Wars Episode 7. All right, what we know about Star Wars Episode 7 panel. This was the first panel that Bethany and I have ever been on ever in our lives ever, period. So, to set the expectation a little bit, there were two parts of me. Part of me was like, this will be fun, there'll be some folks there, and I'm sure it'll be interesting, but it probably won't be a huge deal.
I mean,
but the other part of me thought... I just wonder if it's something that's and the pulse of Dragon Con is really just mainstream geek culture. Everybody mm-hmm. from everywhere in a huge mixing pot of alcohol gathering in Atlanta.
So that's certainly one way to put it.
I'm pretty accurate if you ask me. But we gathering here in Atlanta, and to get that temperature test, I got up on stage. Had a moment of remarkable nervousness, actually, as I stepped up there and realized that, I was getting ready to be on a panel for the first time. And then I looked up, and this is about 15 minutes beforehand. It wasn't just beforehand, but 15 minutes beforehand, it was about 80-90% at capacity. And then I realized it's going to fill up. And not only did it fill up, it actually was standing room only, which was remarkable. And so
we had close to 300 people in there.
That's ridiculous. And so to have that kind of interest in Episode 7 when there's nothing. We have nothing, barely anything more than was announced in October, November, December, January, 7 months, 8 months. We have nothing other than the John Williams stuff, pretty much. And so what instead ensued was an extremely entertaining panel, of which was moderated by Brian Young. Sean Rosato was on it. Some of the guys from Mando Mercs. And Aaron, you were there. So let's in my head, maybe I'm crazy, but I'm telling myself I think it went well. I think this is the kind of thing people are interested in.
Yeah, it went really well because I think even though there wasn't anything that we know. Or that you guys knew that, you know, people got up and lined up to ask you guys questions like you were, you know, in the know or that you were Lucasfilm employees or something.
Hang on a second. Let me call George real quick.
But
oh, he's not available. Let me call JJ.
Like, how much people do care about the Star Wars franchise that you can fill a room just so people can speculate on a movie that's not going to happen for a couple years. So
yeah.
Definitely.
And I thought it went great. You guys all did good, and it was very entertaining and funny, and I think that was key. You know, the crowd was laughing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, like, between Sean and some of the other guys and Brian, I was just sitting up, just to be completely honest, I'm sitting up there on stage, and this is a separate epiphany that hit me, and I'm like, I have a long ways to go as a podcaster and broadcaster, because some of the guys on that stage were really entertaining and engaging. And so I was just trying to just not actually just participate and laugh and listen. It's like, I must think of something good, something to say.
Well, and
did you do a George Lucas impression?
You did. See, and there were
was that done out of
there were a couple like a couple victories. Like the moment, like I shouted at one point, it was too golden an opportunity, and someone was talking about the proverbial falcon exploding, which was kind of an in joke from the panel as it went on, and I was like. So everyone said no, and then of course I leaned back from the mic. I was like, "That's not true!" And the whole crowd erupted. That's impossible. I was like, "Yes, that worked." And then there were a couple ones that just fell flat. And my George Lucas impression was one.
Yeah, that was crickets. I think I heard.
Like, I think Brian needs to engage us with his George Lucas impression.
Oh
Brian?
Boy,
my George Lucas impression is just Jamie Heineman talking Star Wars.
Do it.
Well, we're gonna do episode 7 now.
Okay, it sounds like a 40s, like 1940s, like villain or something. Like,
exactly. It's my Jamie Heineman impression.
Exactly.
Like a gangster.
We're gonna make episode 7, she.
Nancy tricked you into that.
She did trick me. That's vengeance for making her record 3 different things.
I think she's Nancy's whole anything. Goal with she's this podcast there. Is to just like sit over there and then she's going to giggle like whenever we
mess
up.
Oh my goodness.
This is often how our actual podcast works out.
Exactly. Well, I mean and I think from another perspective, I missed a panel that I kind of wish we had seen at FSL Tonight, but I hear that was good.
Oh, FSL Tonight.
Like,
was
I don't listen to that.
Delightful.
See, it's weird because I don't listen to that show, but like Tom Merritt, Justin Robert Young, Brian Breschow, I listen to a ton of their stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why I was at the Magic Show, more for just the show, but just to see Brian perform tonight. And I won a book. It was awesome. His new Scam School book.
FSL Tonight is such a fun podcast because it's this. It's this fictional sports radio setting, and the best thing is it's not just the hosts that are in on it and in character. All of the fans and the audience, the people who listen to the podcast,
it seems
are
like
in character.
Yeah, they had people asking questions like in character about
that's
new teams,
awesome.
And some guy had made signs that he held up. Like
that's insane.
Yeah.
Well, and it's really cool to see like a niche podcast like that with such a devoted following, and that's one thing that I've always really enjoyed. Oh, thank you, Bethany. Look, Coca-Cola. This episode brought to you by the fine, I promise that's not beer, Coca-Cola company. I just realized, like, just as I was pulling that out, like, the statistical likelihood of people thinking this is alcoholic.
Well, you
no.
are at Dragon Con.
Yes. But yes, so FSL tonight, I mean, but I'm glad that we did go, and you guys should go to NSFW tomorrow. Like, seriously.
What time is it?
It's at 10, okay. But it's Michael Rooker's the special guest. And side note.
Okay.
Okay, go
have
ahead.
Have you seen Michael Rooker
yes.
before?
No,
like,
I have.
At a convention?
Yes, I have.
Well, okay. Briefly.
Well, it's true. At a convention, well, yeah, kind of. You have a look of nerds. Should
well,
I be scared?
No, Aaron? I mean, he's certifiably insane.
Yeah. Like, well, that's why I'm trying to get Nancy to go. No, he's been on the show before, but he's always real. And I'm discovering this, Aaron, because we were doing some interviews down at the Walk of
Fame. Wait, one moment, rather. By certifiably insane.
They're like, let's pause for a moment.
Describe
like, Aaron's definition
Describe
of certifiably.
Like, I've seen a lot of panels at a lot of conventions, and I've seen celebrities act strange or
sure.
act crazy, but I've never seen anyone act the way that he
so
acts.
So on a scale of
and
one
say
to
the things
Charlie
that he'll
Sheen.
Say.
One to
he is best known for his role in The Walking Dead
Merle.
As Merle.
Merle Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's an entertaining guy. I've seen him
he's
on the show.
He's entertaining, but yeah, he takes inappropriate things and pushes it to a whole new level.
Like, let's redefine
it. And then he'll
it.
Be like, oh, are there any kids in here? Like, those kind of things. Like, I'm so sorry. And then
okay,
he'll say
so
something else.
Like
and then you keep going.
So this sounds like a Carrie Fisher panel.
Yeah, except way more animated than her.
More, well, that's true, because Carrie
She's
Fisher
very,
has the element of the bombastically, like, what's the
like,
word?
Carrie's so laid back about everything. She'll just say something like that. And
yeah, she's flippantly
kinda,
inappropriate.
Right.
He's
all
overtly
over
inappropriate.
He doesn't sit down. He's all over the stage. Yeah. I mean, entertaining.
You're making me want to go more.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't go. I'm just warning you.
Sure. Well, thank you, because I haven't seen him live
don't
before.
Bring
but
your children.
Well, fair enough. But there was... well, true enough. I think there should be no children within a 6-mile radius of downtown Atlanta during Labor Day weekend.
Seen strollers. I've seen people.
Well, there was a C-3PO. How would you describe it? Like a C-3PO cosplayer who had a really adorable kind of. How would you describe it? Suit. It was like a cloth suit for C-3PO, only a female version, and they're holding a baby R2-D2.
I saw the tweet.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
Ran and I just like, stopped in her tracks. Like, what panel? What convention? adorable artist.
Stop what you're doing. Well, and it's funny because we were doing some interviews at the Walk of Fame, and intentional as official verified media, we have not done interviews in the Walk of Fame. If you are listening, Dan Carroll, I cross my heart, hope
true.
To die. No, but we did have the opportunity, like right behind, they have some doors where it's quiet, where they usually have staff and that sort of thing. And we've done a couple. Mm-hmm. We've done a couple so far, but I think the most
staff were so kind; they would take photos of us and everything.
Which is, but not once, not twice, but three times when we're in the middle of interviewing Candace McClure from BSG or Richard Hatch. I feel like there's a side conversation going over here. I feel like we're missing a side conversation off mic. Or, you know, any of those, not once, not twice, but three times, Michael Rooker and his posse have just whirled by in a whirlwind. And I just, and at one point, just in the middle of the interview, we were talking about an in-depth character of how someone like, how far are you in BSG? I don't want to spoil it. Close your ears, Aaron, if you want.
Don't spoil it.
Okay, I want to.
I hate spoilers.
Okay, we'll not spoil it.
I was in a panel today where an author was doing a reading, and she was like, oh, I'm about to read part of book 3, which will spoil book 1 and 2. And I apologize for anyone who hasn't read the first 2 books, and I literally almost stood up and walked out of the panel because I did not.
Run!
I will run away from spoilers.
Nice. It's the...
But as the character of Duwala, and for those of you who know the character, you know.
I know you guys know where we're going now.
Oh, come on! But for the character, you know what she does. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well,
see, I still see this as a spoiler.
Stop spoiling. No, we will not spoil other than to say that she's a very complex character and has some very interesting different character turns and twists throughout the show. I mean, that's fair to say. And so as she's in the middle of an in-depth answer, it's just like, we're across the hall and there's a wire and he hops over our wires. and I was just like, well, we're being interrupted anyway. So I just embraced. I was like, hey, Rooker! Hey, see you at NSFW tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, man!
See you there.
Boom, and just Candace McClure's eyes go wide. And he's like, I don't even think she knows who Michael Rooker is.
Yeah.
But it was like, in that moment, only at Dragon Con does this happen.
And then that happened twice more.
Exactly. So, wow. So that's the day continued. I think I feel like I need to pull up the actual Dragon Con app to continue our recap. But we had this, the Star Wars Authors panel. Again, entertaining as always. Do you guys have audio of that? Will that be up on Tashi Station?
It already is.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this daily, we might pull some highlights. But definitely, you guys have had that. You had the intro to the U panel, so that'll all be at... Where can folks find that?
Both of those are already up on the blog and in our iTunes feed.
Okay, excellent. And that's Tashi... hyphen.
Thank you. Thank you, random GoDaddy domain squatter.
.net. And you guys check it out because that's
Brian,
great stuff.
Brian, I'll tell you right now, there have been very, very large and well-known podcasters who have had domains stolen from them.
That's why my domain is locked.
I hear like there are whole career domain sharks that take like the 5-minute window when it goes up for renewal and they like sneak in.
Really?
Well, I was kind of tempted to... Try and get TashiStation.net.
Take it back.
the domain's been parked for 3 years on GoDaddy. If it hasn't been used now, they're never going to use it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and the Star Wars Authors panel, again, fantastic. And then I went...
Oh, and this... Every year at Dragon Con, Riley and I have always run into Aaron Halston.
Yeah.
Who will be standing in the Marriott
on
Thursday.
Just people watching.
And he's just standing there.
Observing the surroundings, listening to what's going on.
And we've had our picture taken. This year was our first year when we didn't see him.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, we were kind of... I looked around and I was like, Where's Aaron Austin? He was
hiding
not
in the
here.
Hyatt this year on Thursday, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
So you guys know.
Yeah, we ran into
him. So you ran into him for us. Uh-huh.
But earlier today, we were heading on our way to the media room, and we saw him just standing at the bottom of the Hilton, just standing there. So we walked up to his head high, and we were like, yes, random Aaron Austin encounter during the convention.
Achievement unlocked. And then thus begins the busiest day of the con, Saturday.
What did we do last night?
I don't remember.
Sleep.
Well, actually, yeah, a lot of sleep.
You left after dinner.
No, we went
somewhere after dinner.
I went to the Night Attack comedy show with Brian.
So, did you two take part of the Dragon Con libations, if you can't remember?
No.
Riley got so drunk.
Oh, no. How drunk was he?
Let's play it.
This will be the first episode that Riley edits in a long time.
You guys are getting me close. Yeah. You're getting me close. No,
though, during an interview earlier, sorry to cut in, Riley, but Richard Hatch asked me. Richard Hatch
is
old and the new Battlestar series. He's like, so during the interview, are you available?
Available.
So
for what?
If you've never been to Dragon Con. Yeah, if you've never been to Dragon Con before, this is the convention where the celebrity guests have showed up on panel regularly tipsy.
Yes. Good word. Good word choice. Excellent.
Or John Barrowman likes to show his underwear during his panels.
Coming tomorrow afternoon, I'm sure.
And I thought the Carrie Fisher panel that we went to at Dragon Con was a little...
Oh, you haven't seen anything until you're at a John Barrowman panel.
Oh, wow. I'll make a note of that. Yeah. Avoid John Barrowman panel at all costs. No, last night I went to the comedy show Night Attack Live, which is Brian Brushwood and Jury finishing up their comedy album, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I went up and said hello afterwards, and it was weird because we've had them on the show earlier in the year, and not one but both of them recognized me,
so
which
apparently
I felt kind of uncomfortable.
Justin Robert Young shaved his beard during that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Aww.
Like, live, on stage.
You saw that glorious beard yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and mm-hmm. if you check his vines, he was the rapping Hitler. Like, I'm very tempted to tell. Actually, no, I think I can because it's a hilarious, almost appropriate joke. Inappropriate. Well, never mind. Just check out Brian Brushwood's Vine. I'm not going to tell it.
But you were talking about running into them afterwards.
Yeah, no, I ran into them and they both remembered me from the Star Wars Report, which is pretty cool. And they said hello. So we'll have to get them back on sometime.
Which has been something that's interesting about this convention, which is Riley and I have had. A number of people, I mean, not like vast crowds or anything. We've had a handful of people who have come up to us and talked to us and say, hey, we listened to your show, and they recognize us.
Have you guys had this happen yet? I hope so.
No.
For us.
No, not really, no.
That creep me out.
But we know. But, hey. We know we've heard your show. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
hey. Yeah,
big
check
fans
it out.
Over here. Big fans.
Can I get your autograph later?
Please. It's a matter of time because it's weird because like the last 2 years like crickets, but it's weird. Mm-hmm. And I think it has something to do with the episode 7 panel. I think that was mostly from that. But yeah, so we
had someone stop us in the Walk of Fame.
That was
while
weird.
We were just walking around,
and they didn't know the show. They just like
blah 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 blah, and I was like,
they just walked
so
up.
So who are you?
Who
again?
Are you? Oh, remember I was at the panel.
And like you and like, 300 oh, other yeah. people.
But no, that was cool. That
it's the price of fame, Bethany.
Really nice.
It's the price of fame.
It's a long and suffering life here. Anybody? All right, poll around the room. Anybody go to the parade this morning? No, no.
Well, we tried not to.
No,
no, no. No and no. All right, done. The parade was a no-go.
Well, we got trapped in it.
The numbers I heard.
Will.
The numbers I heard from the press guys is that it was 80,000 downtown Atlanta. 80,000. So about 40,000 or so the attendees, and then another plus 30, 40 of just from everyone from here. People hear about the football games, and suddenly they want to.
Well, that would explain why it took me 45 minutes to cross Peach.
Yes. Exactly. Ah, really?
Oh,
so
right.
Sold out Georgia Dome today.
Oh, wow.
Good grief. 167,000. Good grief. That would
explain why traffic is so bad.
That's a lot of football fans. Maybe, I mean, as powerful as the nerds are,
we can't compete with college football.
Yeah, college football is still going to be a staple of American tradition for quite some time. But we did go to, we also did not go to the William Shatner panel, but we did go to the Hobbit panel, mm-hmm. which we recorded. Very entertaining. Graham McTavish and William Kircher.
Tell you what, Sylvester McCoy.
And Sylvester McCoy.
Who played Radagast is quite hilarious.
He's like the delightful...
He'll be sitting there and with his eyes kind of looking down, and he might look for a split second, if you are deceived at all, kind of like shy and sweet old man, and then...
Then he opens his mouth.
Then he opens his mouth, yes. He is extraordinarily witty and very well-spoken.
He was one of the doctors.
Yes, yeah, well, mm-hmm. 70s, 60s... I figured you might know.
He was toward the end of the classic run, so he would have been...
He's the fifth doctor.
He would have been in the 80s.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think he was 80s.
Who is Sylvester McCoy?
He was the last of the classic doctors. And then they had to... So he was the...
According to Wikipedia, Sylvester McCoy is a Scottish actor.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Android assistant tool. Thank you.
Oh my goodness! But so it was another very entertaining panel, and we will have audio that from that on the show in some form or fashion. Bethany, there you go. Bethany's reaching for the Dove chocolate.
Aaron is like staring at the chocolate. Do you want some chocolate?
No. And then I'm just going to jump through the rest of Saturday, and I think open up for some conversation. Then we'll bring this show to a close. Let's see, BSG. Who was at the Friday BSG? You were. Shannon, get over here.
Uh-huh. Surprise.
Do you mind
podcast,
Aaron sharing?
Yes.
Or
I can share.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. You might want to... there we go. Trade around. Okay, so BSG. This has become a staple of the past couple years, where we've actually been in quite a few BSG panels together. And if you want, you'll have to get right on the mic.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I want to say, when did you first get into BSG, and why do you go to so many of the panels? Because I feel like you... Why do you keep going to BSG panels? I mean, we do,
BSG
too.
BSG panels,
but...
unlike everybody else in this room, I actually enjoyed the show. I marathoned it when I didn't have cable right before I went in 2011.
Stop. You have two more people who really enjoyed the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, unlike...
Everybody else. You guys can leave now. No.
I like the show enough. I just think everyone on the show is a terrible human being.
What?
I think what they did with BSG was they showed a very realistic world of what could possibly happen, as EJO mentioned yesterday.
Yeah.
He got very, very political.
Yes, he did.
I was taken aback by that because I hadn't heard it in the previous panels that I had.
Yeah, it was pretty over the top. There's a solid 10 minutes of the world will end, folks.
It was a very...
Corporations will rule the planet.
The banks and are taking over.
Well, what was really
corporations
funny...
Corporations are people, my friends. No, okay, sorry. Well, I've got the Song of Ice stuck in my head.
What he said was actually really true, because I had just read a book about what he had said about the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
it was
a
thriller, and it was really good, and... I just was taken aback by someone else mentioning it other than...
Well, it's always interesting to see something get political like that. But no, the BSG panel, and then we missed the one today. Were you at the one today?
I watched some of it on there. It was the same panelists. Tomo flew in today. He was filming down in New Orleans for, I think it was, Supernatural.
Okay.
Oh, really?
He's going to be on Supernatural this year, and he's on Continuum.
How
the question for you, do you know if that's a continuing role in Supernatural, or is it just a one
episode? This is the point in the conversation where Riley checks out.
So
he's supposed to be in a season premiere. They said he's probably going to be recurring this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I was very excited. He got stuck in the traffic today for the parade.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't able to make the BSG one at 4.
So anyway, that afternoon, I haven't seen Supernatural.
Shannon, you want to start a Supernatural podcast?
I'm on season 5 right now.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
All right. So then we actually hit the Walk of Fame. So far we have interviewed Richard Hatch, and that'll be coming up very soon. Wow, I love the side conversation.
I ran into you guys.
I lost my microphone, so now I'm just like...
Yeah, I know. Well, thanks, Jada. And you also,
Riley.
Shout out, you saved us seats, which is amazing. You're an awesome human being, and thank you.
I figured you guys would come. I was like, I'm by myself.
No longer. Say it ain't so. And by the way, also Riley? We've discovered some in the Centennial Ballroom. We've discovered awesome like back routes, and we will tell you all about them. Ooh. Off air. Yes, Bethany.
Aaron likes Supernatural too.
Well, very all right. Well, I'm very glad that I'm sure he does.
You are outnumbered.
I guess I am. So, and then we did
little family argument that this is referencing.
As often happens. So, interviews. We'll hopefully have some more tomorrow. It always depends. Plenty of rejection. Few yeses, as is typically the case. And
I love the way that we asked Brent Spiner for an interview.
Oh, okay. I'm telling the Brent Spiner story.
Oh, I have dibs. To hear this.
Dibs on the Brent Spiner story. I try to live by a principle, and we talked about it some today in the blogging and podcasting thing, and we kind of touched it a little bit, but I think it's very important, like is happening in this room right now, to collaborate, work with, and be positive with fellow community members, and also on the official side of things, especially in Star Wars, it pays to just be nice to people. Like, I see, you know, fan sites fight and Twitter fights, and you see fans who disagree, and it gets carried out of hand, and there's those points where I just feel like... We just need to take a lesson here and not, you know, just be nice. It's just nice. It's just in principle, it's nice to be nice. Now, I'm going to entirely violate my rule right now and talk about Brent Spiner. No, okay, so my favorite character.
Weirdly paradoxical.
Okay, so I've seen quite a few episodes of TNG, not as many as Bethany. Bethany, you saw a ton, like when you broke your foot years ago, like you went through tons of seasons. Like, but Data's my favorite character.
Almost all of TNG.
Love that guy, and I love Brent Spiner's performance. And I've seen video of his panels before online and that sort of thing, and he's a very engaging, entertaining fellow. Mm-hmm. He's a performer, and he's good at it. Good at his job. We walk up to him and say, hey, Brent, what do you think about if line drops, you know, you might have a few minutes to do an interview, that'd be amazing. And he said... Can I be honest with you? I was like, oh, no. No. I was like, okay, fair enough. I mean, and we've heard no before. It's usually from the agent. But, you know, Brent Spiner don't need no agent to say anything for
him. Brent Spiner's agent was nicer than Brent Spiner.
Well, and so here, now I'm kind of actually getting uncomfortable with how calling out we are. But I think it's an interesting experience because he did explain that there are all these... online, and with a very derogatory tone, blogs and sites and stuff that all ask him for interviews, and he just doesn't have anything to say. And that, in fact, I mean, we could do an interview, but it would just be him being silent. And we could ask all the questions we want, but it would just be dead air. So... Wow. Thus ends.
Put it that way.
I know.
Well, and so, but it occurred to me, it's interesting because here's like just removing it from him specifically because I've talked enough about Brent Spiner. We love you.
Well, I, just before you remove it from him, though, I did want to say it again. It was weirdly paradoxical because he was very friendly and talkative.
Well, and this is what I want to bring up.
And so it was not that he just got a bad vibe from us or didn't seem to like us.
And I'm not, and he has absolutely every right.
He was very friendly. But the way he put that was so funny. But I think he really just does not like new media at all. I got that vibe from him. The only time that he really sounded negative was when he talked about online stuff.
Online stuff. Well, and it's interesting because I think there's an element of this entertainment industry, and it's a fish out of water in the geek culture. I think it's more common in mainstream Hollywood of people who really do believe that blogs and fan communities and stuff are annoying, or they spoil your show, and they do things like that, and they're just an annoyance and get in the way of the real audience. And I think that that's an actual legitimate philosophy and thought. Come on in, Bria.
Come on, Agent Hill.
Oh, Agent Hill, a.k.a. Bria.
She fled.
I wanted to say hello. Okay. But I think, and it's an interesting thing because we're so used to Clone Wars actors who they'll go on anyone's podcast, and they're remarkably friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are channels you have to go through and arrangements that have to be made. But really, if you are a fan and you bother to you know, create content and you're someone who's out there expressing yourself, someone, pretty much anyone at Lucasfilm is going to be accommodating and let you work with them. So I think it's an interesting paradox, and it's like Richard Hatch is the Sam Witwer, I've decided, is the Sam Witwer of BSG. You can
there goes Nancy. Nancy got it. Nancy's giggling again.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he will literally go on for a long time, really in-depth answers with no prompting, and
you're gonna ask
we'll
two
go
questions
out of
in
his
the
way
will last 20
to
minutes.
Close. He closed his table early. He talked to the last few fans, closed his table early, and took us in the back for us to do his interview.
It's like
on
Mark
the first
Hamill,
request.
Ask him two questions and he goes on forever.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was fun to see. And it's just, it's the exact opposite when it comes down to it. And Richard said off air after our interview, he said, because we actually talked to him a little bit about it, and he said, well, here's the deal. Actors either get it or don't. But when it comes to. There's sign language going on over here.
We're trying to con Bria into doing another recording session.
I know.
If you bring Bria on this, though, you're definitely going to be editing.
Semi-drunken pantomiming
good for the,
going
good for
on.
The, thanks for the heads up. Okay, so my final point on this whole matter is, and I will just echo what Richard told us. Call him Richard. We've interviewed him twice now, so I figure like we can do first names. And he said, you either get this factory or you don't. Actors are not just actors anymore. You have to build a brand, an audience, and platform. And he understands that. He uses social media all the time, and he's interacting with fans. And he will go out of his way to accommodate any and all fans that he can, whatsoever.
Whereas
Brent Spiner is one of the most talented television actors I've seen in that kind of sci-fi show that can take something like Star Trek TNG, which could easily have a tendency to be very disconnected from reality, and had a remarkable way to take a robotic character and make him one of the most relatable characters ever.
Favorite character.
And this is a man
on that
I think has a ton of remarkable things to say to Star Trek fans. And I think it's a downright shame that he doesn't seem to think so. So that, I mean, then that would be thus ends the tale of our encounter with Brent Spiner.
What do you think, Brian?
I wouldn't ever ask Brent Spiner for an interview.
Well, and I didn't. That was Bethany being courageous enough to do that, and Bethany who had to front most of that rejection.
There are the authors, the C-level actors and voice people, and then there's the A-list television and film personalities that I would never approach.
Fair enough.
But the funny thing was, at the end of that, and I don't know if everything will line up correctly or not, but right after that, we requested an interview of, I'm not sure if you guys would all know him, but the man who played Reed Richards in Fantastic Four.
Yes. He was the dude who came back in Titanic to rescue Rose. Just FYI.
Yes.
We'll ask him how he was able to do that. We'll do that. So back in 99, how did you do that? Okay.
But so, he was very gracious and he was nice. I truthfully, I was a little intimidated to ask him because Riley and I have not really interviewed that level of star before, unless you really would count Anthony Daniels or Billy Boyd,
really,
a few others,
really good.
But not better known as he is. So I was a little nervous about asking him, but he was really gracious, really nice. So hopefully that'll work out.
It was the most disappointing but polite rejection we've ever received. Okay, so thus, and then today, a last couple things. The blogging podcasting panel, that was today. You guys were on it, and the magic show, and then thus, and like right now.
Everybody was on that panel, like everyone.
Well, there were more panelists than there were audience members. So.
It was pretty
almost.
Close, yeah. Yeah.
I would say, though, that most of the panelists had very good things to say.
I feel like that was a panel that more people...
Is that a shot at me, Aaron? No.
What about me?
No.
I feel like that's a panel... I think that was a great panel, and I really wish there were more people there, but I think that's the kind of thing that would be best done, that format at a celebration. I think that's kind of the target.
Well, because there is a podcasting track.
We actually pitched that panel at Celebration 6, but nothing ever came of it.
Maybe if enough of us
hound. I had talked to Dunk over at Club Jade. She was going to be in on it, but nothing ever happened.
I think we could, I mean, if enough of us got together and just started emailing and saying we're all collective, like this is collective bargaining only Star Wars sites, we could maybe maybe make enough waves to do something like that.
There was a Lucasfilm employee that was watching a number of the Star Wars panels at Dragon Con. And I know just from conversations with him that he really liked what he was hearing from, you know, the different panelists.
Good.
So we could maybe...
Well, I hope that resonates home, because the fan programming here is as good, if not better in many cases, than the fan programming at Celebration, I think.
You're not going to find, a general nerd convention that has better Star Wars programming than Dragon Con does, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not a Celebration year, this is the place to be if you're a Star Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down.
And the Star Wars track, again, according to the media people, is the biggest track.
Sure. Absolutely. So, but I mean, the panel went well, and we might have some audio. It was although it was very interactive, so a lot of off mic stuff. But we might grab some highlights from that.
Yeah, I do think I thought the panel was really good, and I was glad to hear what you had to say, Aaron, just a moment ago. But I do think that it was so broad. It was like blogging plus podcasting plus fanfic.
If we were to do this again next year, I'd like to ask that we do blogging and podcasting as one panel.
Yeah,
I think that's fiction, fan art, and other fan works as a separate entity.
I think that's how it would work best.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think there would be enough. There was interest. But it was very light attendance. But I think there would be some greater attention to something like that at a Celebration, especially with the new movie coming on.
Yeah,
that's your target.
This panel in particular was very much a proof of concept.
Sure,
panel. Yeah. We'd never done anything like that before.
Yeah. And you guys proposed this one, right?
Yeah, this is one is one that we proposed.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. I mean, that went really well, I thought, in terms of concept. I think it's something that should definitely move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason I think it would actually be better at Celebration is because there's not really anything like that at Celebration. And I think the reason for a low attendance here
is workshop-esque thing where it doesn't need to be huge attendance.
Workshop, and the 7 o'clock hour is a pretty lousy hour for track panel.
Well, and the low attendance, I wound up not really minding that because it got very specific. I think it was far more valuable to the people who were there because they were able to ask.
I think if it was like 25, 50, 100 people in a small room at a Celebration, it would still be a really great place.
Yeah, so if we were to do this next year and we could narrow the scope a bit, there was a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about that I didn't get into.
Sure.
Yeah.
The nuts and bolts of, okay, where do I get a blogging host? What should I use? How do I go about setting it up?
And I kind of blurted out in the middle at one point two resources that I use, just websites, both of which people are taking notes. They'll go there and there'll be a billion resources, and there's a lot more specifics, but I just
Go to WordPress and a start.
But I was glad to see folks there, and then that was it. I went to the magic show. I won a book from Brian Brushwood. His new Scam School book's out, just shipped, and so he had some copies there, and I won one, and that was cool. And he signed it, and he said, "Hello, Riley," and I was happy.
Riley was very happy.
Very entertaining guy, though. This con has taught me a couple things. Between the Episode 7 panel and seeing folks like Schwood and some other really, truly professional, fantastic podcasters, is that even on our own podcasting panel, I'm realizing just how many ways that I and we can improve as podcasters in what we do. I think there's a lot of stuff that can be done to develop and improve our show, for sure.
Like a little audience now.
Yeah, this is like I feel like we're at like a coffee shop or something.
Yeah, we've got some folks in studio, which is pretty cool.
We have four or three audience members right now.
More than we get in our live stream.
Cool deal. And so thus ends the recaps. We'll do another one tomorrow, but I wanted to say thank you, Brian, so much for letting us crash in your hotel room, use your equipment.
You're most welcome.
No, you are a very awesome dude, and I'm very glad that we've been, because we crossed paths so much at the last Celebration and then last Dragon Con, but never really got to hang out. So I feel like we've finally been able to do that some. Coolness. And Aaron, thank you for joining us, flying all the way out from Pennsylvania.
just to be on this podcast.
Just yes. to be here in this hotel room.
Nancy's giggling again.
Bethany, as always, thank you for accompanying me for the third year in a row. We've been doing this a while, man.
Glad to still be around.
We've survived three Dragon Cons. And we're really risking it because the last 2 we would just kind of flee the city at about 7, 8 p.m. So we've stayed late the last 2 nights. So we'll cross our fingers. I'm not sure if we're brave enough to go swing by the last party on Alderaan. Probably not. Probably not.
Probably not your scene.
No. No.
No. It's not my scene.
Yeah, I'd probably go home and get some reasonable rest. And
because you need to be back here tomorrow at 11:30 for the Women and Minorities in Star Wars.
We will be there. We will be there. I'm looking forward to that. I want you to see a lot of people ticked off by the end of that. I want to see...
If
you don't offend people, you haven't done your job.
I don't... seriously piss off at least one audience member, I will not have done my job.
Ryan's goal is to have at some point in the panel somebody storms out. Somebody.
Well, look at the Dragon Con badge. It's got a freaking scantily clad girl on it.
So, they are, I mean, they don't lie about their branding. They
need change.
Yeah. Well,
yes,
true.
We can.
True, true. All right, so that wraps up this daily episode. Longer than usual and better than usual to have all of you guys joining us. So that wraps it up. Thank you guys for coming on. You're the audience. You get to clap. Yeah, there we go.
Look at that, studio audience.
I've always wanted to do that. I mean, I had to prom. There we go. Cool. All right. And thus it ends. Brian, thanks again, man. That was
awesome. Of all the comrades that it I had, they're sorry for my going away. And all the sweethearts that e'er I had, they'd wish me one more day to stay. But since it fell into my lot that I should rise and you should not, I'll gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all. Fill to me the parting glass and drink.